You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Bright and early at 9 o'clock in the morning. We've got Solar Rosa coming to us live from Tamaki Makaurau. Morena, Ewha, how you doing?
Morena. Good, man. Good.
Nice. Do you usually get up this early?
Well, funnily enough, I just woke up like at about 10 to 9 and turned on my phone and it said Radio 1 interview. And I was like, ah!
No!
So, yeah, no, I do. Like, it depends. I'm not a great sleeper, so it depends how I sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But last night wasn't a great one, so hence I'm up a bit late.
Oh, no. Is there any determining factor as to why it wasn't a great sleep for you?
Nah, there's never any determining factor. It's just random.
Just luck of the draw.
Yeah, just always been like that.
Mm-hmm.
Me, so yeah.
No, fair. I've got a similar thing. We're here to talk about your new EP, New Tomorrows, which came out like less than a week ago, on the 7th of March. 4 days
March,
old.
Yeah.
Very recent. Would you ever consider releasing a kind of From the Vault style project called Old Yesterdays?
Maybe that could be the B-sides or outtakes kind of. There's a hell of a lot of music that I made during this period that will probably never see the light of day. So yeah, I could do an Old Yesterdays quite easily.
Have it just as like a physical release or something.
Yeah,
because I mean it's been 4 years between now and your most recent album.
It has.
Chasing the Sun, which is quite a long time. That's
yeah,
quite
I didn't,
a long time.
I did that last time, so it took me 5 years to make Chasing the Sun. So yeah, I finished that album and I was like, I'm never doing that again. I'm never taking 5 years to make an album. But here we are. But I do have an album finished and the EP, so I've kind of done two projects in one. And like I say, there's a whole lot of music that was made that, I just may never see the light of day, or I don't know. We'll see what happens with it. But there's been a lot of music making. Just it's a long process, man. It takes a long time. So you know, there's a lot of BS kind of after and in between, and you know, like legal stuff and like
sampling.
No,
just, not even sampling.
Just contracts with featured vocalists and all of that stuff can take a long time, and artwork and all sorts of things. So yeah. And especially, I mean, I'm independent, so like I'm not with a label or anything. But if you're with a label, sometimes the label might be like, okay, well, that's good, you finished the album, but we're fully booked up for like the next year or year and a half, so you just have to sit on it and wait. I think that's pretty common, but yeah.
Well, I think you can tell that this has had a lot of time put into it because it feels like it's marinated quite a lot in your creative pool of whatever your influences are. You've reached a pretty massive milestone at 25 years with Solar Rosa. You know, as maintaining this project and focusing mostly on this project, been at the sacrifice of many other creative focuses?
Not really?
No.
I mean, the best part of the job is just the creative part. And, you know, I still love that part. And I've thought about, you know, doing other projects, you know, under different aliases or whatever, but it's probably always kind of sound like me, and you know, so I've just sort of stuck with it, really. And it's always sort of changing. I sort of try to make every release different to the last one. I think they are. I hope they are. Anyway. So yeah, if it was just sounding the same all the time, then maybe I'd try and do something else, but I still love it. I still love the creative part of it.
Mm-hmm. And your sound's definitely evolving. I mean, this EP really kind of hybridizes like a Nujabes like attention for detail, while creating like kind of a pop funk vibe that people are envious of the Free Nationals for, you know. Did you grow up listening to a lot of funk and hip hop, which I think are like kind of the two main vibes on here?
Not really. Like, depends how far back you want to go, but I kind of, you know, my parents were sort of 70s disco on the one hand, and then like yacht rock on the other.
Oh yeah,
and then my not that sophisticated. Nah, just you know, Doobie Brothers, Fleetwood Mac, kind of stuff like that. But And my brothers were a big influence, and they were into, one of them was into hip hop and punk and reggae, and the other one was sort of lots of post punk stuff. And then I didn't really get into funk until discovering Funkadelic at the ripe old age of like 27 or something. Mm. And that was the turning point for me. That was kind of like, yeah, I went from being into sort of guitar, indie guitar music, and fully into like soul funk, mm-hmm. hip hop.
You went to the mountain, so to speak.
I went down that road, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. I had that moment when I was about 10, because my dad loved Funkadelic. He he just found a greatest hits recording. He loves buying greatest hits CDs. Is any of this EP using samples? Because I noticed that there's like, on the title track, there's a G-Funk synth rise that reminds me of a specific Call in the Gang song. I was wondering if there's any link there.
Yeah, that's a classic G-Funk rise, but it's not
trademarked or anything.
Nah, it's not sampled off. I think that Lewis McCallum actually played that, and I said to him at the time, you know, that's like a classic, you know, keys part. And he was like, yeah, whatever.
And it I works, just thought, works.
Okay, well, if you don't care about it, I don't care about it. So, no, it's not a sample though. It's played, yeah. There are samples on the album, but most of them are like royalty-free samples. They're not, yeah. I haven't sampled a record for a while.
Mm-hmm. Is it quite a pain to do that, to sample?
Yeah, it is. And, yeah, and the publisher really doesn't, they really don't like it. They'll sort of try and avoid putting anything forward for, you know, like an ad or a movie or whatever, if it's got samples in it, unless you've fully cleared them. And then I've done that process once, and it was so painful. Funnily enough, I didn't end up paying any money for it.
Really?
Which is a funny story, yeah. We've got time for that, but yeah.
Maybe not. So I do want to touch more on the sound of the record, because there's a lot of flute at play here in one form or another, which I think is the flute, I think, is a little bit written off maybe because it's a little domineering or whatever. But have you been using the flute for a while in your work, or was this kind of a new thing for you to try out?
Yeah, so the first person to play flute on any of my records was Nathan Haynes, and I told him straight out at the time, I don't like flute. I'm not a flute fan.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, no, just let me play it, and you know, you can see whether you like it or not. And I loved it, so yeah, I've had a change of opinion since then. But it really depends on who's playing it and what it is. Like, otherwise, I still am not a big fan of flute at all.
Still to this day,
not really, but wow. not depends how it's played and what it's doing. Mm. But I trust Nathan and I trust Lewis, and that's Lewis McCallum on the flute. Like, he's kind of a protege of Nathan Haynes. He's amazing. So yeah, as you would have heard, there's a track called Get On, which just features him on flute. And at the time, I played it to him when I finished it, and he was like, "Really, Ron Burgundy? Do you want to leave that in there, like the whole thing?" I was like, "Yeah, I love it." So you know, hopefully other people like it too.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I really I got an ear for the flute, man. I'm a fan. I'm a flute, yeah, cool. fan. I'm a flute man. In contrast,
I like to distort them and, you know, put effects on them and weed them out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, make them more intriguing. Yeah. I want to talk about I think my favorite song in here, which is the closer. How Heaven Could Be Close. Heaven Could Be Close. How did that song come together? I mean, that song is just so ethereal. It goes through so many moods, phases, and energies, and it gets real weird. A bit more weird than some of the rest of the tracks on the EP. Yeah. It seems like it would have been a lot of fun to make.
Yeah, so that's Joe Probert. So I had him in the studio a few times, and we wrote that song, and we wrote The Sun Doesn't Shine, mm-hmm. Which was the second single. But Heaven Could Be Close was just a really short song, and I didn't really think it was so just the first part of the song, I didn't really think it was enough to be put on the EP. It just wasn't like, it's okay, but I don't want to just put like a 2-minute song on there that doesn't really go anywhere or do anything. Mm. So I just sort of mucked around with it and
expanded, add an additional 3 minutes onto it.
Yeah, and it kind of like almost a little bit sort of funkadelic. It was definitely that kind of influence I was trying to go for, a sort of psychedelic, funkadelic end. And then it just kind of grew from there. So Joe is a drummer. So that's Julian Dine on the drums on the track, but Joe's also a drummer, sings, plays guitar, keys. So he jumped on drums and did all the fills and stuff and added all the sort of heavy organ synth parts at the end. And so it was a really good collaboration between the two of us, that track.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song, and what I'm going to play after our corridor today. Cool. But, you know, you've said that this EP kind of marks the closing of one chapter and the opening of a new one. And reading through the track list, we have songs with names like Tears Rolled Down, New Tomorrows, The Sun Doesn't Shine, and, of course, Heaven Could Be Close. Do you think this is possibly kind of a form of mourning from where you've come from?
I don't think so, because, you know, I don't write the lyrics, so whatever comes via
the gifts.
Yeah, is whatever comes. And I was actually in a pretty good headspace making that EP, so no, I don't think so. Maybe it's a reflection of the times, I'm not sure. it's not via me. It's not via me. But I'm just, the album that I've finished is a different beast entirely. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it is anyway, and it's kind of, it's a bit more me in production, and this one's definitely way more collaborative with musicians and sort of like I've done for the last few albums. So that's the difference, I guess. But
nice. Well, I can't wait to hear it when it comes out. Can you reveal any details about it? Any name, date?
Not really at this stage.
That's okay. Will you be coming down to Oti Poti maybe in the next 12 months for a show to any tours?
I hope so, but I didn't really plan on touring this EP. There's still a sort of focus on touring the album when it comes out, which will be later in the year, hopefully. But I'll be honest with you, it's been an expensive process making an album and an EP at the same time, and I knew that I was going to be putting it out around this time, and sort of, it was like, you know, I have to focus on one thing financially that I can kind of justify, and that's probably more so the album. But I did do a gig, we played a bunch of these songs recently, and it was really great. So I don't know, I'm talking to my booking agent, seeing what we can do, but so never say never. But
true.
It's been a long time since I've been down.
Yeah, well, if you did hypothetically do a tour of the EP, would you get, is it Ecosia? Ecosia?
Ecosia.
Ecosia, yeah. Would you get her from Melbourne to come sing live, or would you just backing track?
Maybe, but I have been working with Wallace, who sung on my last album, and she's on the new album as well. She's in Wellington, so it's, yeah, I've been doing gigs with her. It's always tricky when you've got to fly someone from another country. And that sort of stuff's getting more and more expensive. So, yeah. But I would love to get her over. Mm-hmm. It'd be great.
It'd be awesome. I think we'll leave it there. I want to thank you for your time and coming on the show today. And all the best with the album. I can't wait to hear it. Excited to see the contrast between this and the record.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Have a great day. Take care.
You too, man.
Kakite. That was our mate Sol Rosa. We're talking about their new EP, New Tomorrows, which you can find on streaming platforms, wherever you get your music. It's 9:16 here on the Edu Breakfast program. We do have a giveaway if you'd like to enter the draw to win a Marlon Williams show ticket for the June the 26th at the Regent Theatre. Text into 0212 Radio 1 and let me know if you have any stories with shrinking clothes. I recently shrunk one of my clothes. I'm not very happy about it. Text that into 0212 Radio 1 and you'll be in the draw to win a ticket to Marlon Williams' show in June, late June. Here is Sola Rosa with Heaven Could Be Close. You're listening to The One. Keep it real.
Heaven knows I've got it out. I found a window for my walls. I depend on you so much.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.